Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones joining us from the Sunbury Motor Studio momentarily. Kevin Herb back from a little bit of R&R, watched a lot of basketball over the weekend. And yes, as Steve alluded to earlier in the day, did watch the IndyCar race from St. Pete. You didn't think I'd miss that, did you? And, you know, that's the nice thing about the technology today. You can watch one thing on the television, have another thing on your tablet or on your phone or on your desktop computer, laptop computer, or even use picture-in-picture. That's the best part of technology. You have all these options available to you all the time, and you can watch multiple sports. The only thing I didn't really see this weekend, I even watched some of the NASCAR race. The only thing I didn't see this weekend was baseball. And I did not catch the hockey game either. I wanted to do that last night, but got back a little bit later from the Northumberland County All-Star Basketball games, so I didn't get a chance to watch any of the hockey on NBC Sports Network last night. But, you know, I had a really busy weekend getting back into the swing of watching sports again. Steve will again join us from the Sunbury Motors Studio in just a few minutes. Paul Keels will be joining us on the Hilshers General Store Hotline. He'll be joining us talking a little Ohio State basketball. How are your brackets going right now? I think I have 9 of 16 left in my little for fun bracket, just to see how I did. We'll see what Steve's bracket looks like right now. And by the way, Florida Gulf Coast, if you have them in your Sweet 16 right now, I would like you to give me the lottery numbers for tomorrow night, because I think you have a pretty good shot at winning. I can't imagine anybody that has them in the Sweet 16, let alone any further than that. But I'll tell you what, from the way they looked the last couple of games, and especially last night, they look like they're having fun. They look like there's no pressure on them whatsoever, and that can be a very dangerous team. And Steve will talk more about that as well. It's all coming up here on the Steve Jones Show, but first, Above the Noise.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car. Picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word: Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Well, when he checks his voicemail and he hears two words, great one, Paul Keels knows it's I that left the message.
I figure you misdialed.
I know when you leave me a message and I hear those words, I know exactly who is he calling.
How are you, my friend?
My friend, it is great to be with you again. when we hear the words basketball IQ, and then we watch Aaron Kraft game tied, Thomas covered, was that the definition of Aaron Kraft and what basketball IQ really is?
I think so, Steve. And really, if you kind of look through the whole deal of how that game went, you know, he makes some of the plays that we've been accustomed to seeing Aaron Kraft make for almost 3 years now. Then he runs into a rough spell, and some of it, really, and my partner Ron Stokes pointed out on the air, that you could see he was gassed, and you've seen him. He plays so hard. You know, he missed two front ends of one and one. He missed an open jump shot. He got beat a couple of times defensively. That doesn't happen. And committed to fouls from being out of position, which doesn't happen. But, you know, Aaron, first off, is smart enough to realize they're in a situation. It's a tie ball game. They want to work the clock for as much as they can to not give Iowa State a chance to shoot if they miss the shot. If they miss the first shot, there's an opportunity possibly for a tip. And they kind of had called a play to get the ball to Deshaun Thomas, but he was doubled and saw that wasn't going to work. It kind of thought that LaQuentin Ross would become a possible option because of the way he had played. But what Iowa State had done is they had put their 6'7" man on Aaron and had George Niang just kind of play off of him as to not let Aaron drive by him. So Kraft just kind of was able to get himself in rhythm, get settled, and take a jump shot that if he missed it, they're going to overtime. So as you said, Steve, the IQ kind of comes into the whole play, but this is a kid that, you know, has been playing in the last month with much more confidence offensively. And if you watched him after he made the shot and everybody's going nuts, he's waving around to try and get people in position defensively. That tells you all about Aaron Kraft.
Yeah, that's Aaron Kraft in a nutshell. But I watched him do that for 4 years. He is the best on the, you know, a lot of people talk about Kramer for Purdue, liked very much. Mike with Wisconsin, I liked very much. But Aaron Kraft, to me, if I had a choice of the three guys, I'd choose time. There's something about how he plays, but the fact that I think he's got more offense. And, you know, how much has his improved offense helped around it?
Well, you know, he's been, Steve, since he's been here, a pass-first, shoot-second type of guy. And when you've got a Jared Sollinger and a William Buford and a Deshaun Thomas, that helps that. But it was very apparent this year that Ohio State needed a second offensive threat to develop, whether it was as an individual or whether it was a group of guys. And really what's helped them in the last month has been it's been by committee. You've seen at times where Lenzel Smith has given them big games, where LaQuentin Ross has become a factor when really he wasn't consistently. And, you know, starting with a home win over Michigan State when Aaron scored 21, that kind of created a little more confidence there. And it really, his best offense comes by driving to the basket, not hitting outside jump shots. So, but he did some things in the Big Ten tournament that we've not seen with some of his moves and his jump shots and things like that. And a lot of it was the encouragement of the coaches to be a little more aggressive and look for your stuff. And the thing that it's done, too, is it's helped take some, at times, of the pressure, Steve, off of Deshaun Thomas. And teams haven't been able to double-team and triple-team him as much as they have in the past.
Thomas is a special talent. What makes him a special talent, seeing him every day, Paul?
Well, I think you have to know going in, Steve, that Deshaun, or as he was first referred to in his first year and a half here, O'Shawn, because it was all about the O and not the D, that he had the ability to score. But, you know, in his freshman year when he was coming off the bench, he was gunning quickly because his time was limited. The thing you've seen him do now is kind of let the flow of the game develop naturally and give him the opportunities. He can drive the ball to the basket. He can shoot from the outside. He's become, in the last half of the season, a better passer. And what we're seeing, Steve, since the postseason started, he's becoming a better rebounder. And I think what really seemed to help was the time between the end of the regular season and the Big Ten tournament, getting a little bit of a physical break from game conditions. So you're seeing him rebound the ball a little bit better. And he makes one of the biggest plays of that game yesterday with a defensive play by tipping a pass on a play in which he had been burned on a couple of times. But he's a guy that just he's creative in how he can get into position to score. He's not a selfish type of scorer and player. And he's also got a lack of a conscience. You know, if he misses a shot or misses a few shots, it doesn't seem to get his dauber down. He's able to maybe the most impressive thing, Steve, is, you know, he led the Big Ten in free throw shooting. So he's a guy that draws so much activity. When he gets fouled, he's been able to cash in at the free throw line.
The next part of this is tell me about Lenzel Smith Jr., who did so well in the tournament last year, but also Sam Thompson and what their contributions have meant, along with Evan Ravenel, what they have meant to making this a better rounded team.
Well, Well, Lenzel, as you said, he really gave this team a lift last year in the postseason. He hit a big three-pointer yesterday that kind of stemmed the tide when Iowa State was making a big run. Lenzel's a kid that you know, his value comes with the ability to rebound, what he does defensively with his long arms, and he has the ability at times to get on a roll offensively and bust up his own. Sam Thompson has been a joy to watch, not just because of the acrobat highlight dunking plays that he makes. His outside shot has really started to come together. Thad Mata has always talked about how his athletic ability has helped him as a defensive player. And as you know, Steve, really one of the big keys when they started playing Shannon Scott an awful lot more and playing he and Aaron Kraft together. I mean, he just, you know, he comes in with Evan Ravenel usually at that first substitution, and Shannon just beats up the game. He creates all kind of havoc. It's a little bit of a quandary at times because he and Aaron Kraft are the same type of player, but Shannon can really speed things up and create some opportunities that way. And Evan Ravenel's playing like you would hope a fifth-year senior would. This is a kid that, you know, I know he was recruited by Ed DeCellis to come to Penn State, but he's come and fit a role so nicely. He doesn't try and do the things that he can't do most of the time. He's a physical guy that can grind people away from the backboard to give other players the opportunity to rebound. You know, he had huge games in the Big Ten tournament in a lot of the unspoken ways. And it's been helpful because really Amir Williams, who starts at center, has been a non-factor for most of the year. So it really has given Thad Mata some options.
Shannon Scott probably is actually a better defensive player than his dad was.
Well, his dad was a little more about offense, as we remember.
Oh, yeah. Charlie could flat-out play. And every single African-American player playing right now owes his father a debt of gratitude for what he did in the ACC.
Oh, no question. And the ABA and the NBA, too.
Yeah, no doubt. But what has made him – every player changes a little bit from time to time. The offseason helps him. What helped Shannon Scott become a better all-around player?
Well, the first off, Steve, I think is the fact that being around Aaron Kraft has rubbed off on him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the two of them have gotten close. And I think when you see them play against one another in practice and how they can feed off of one another when they're on the court has really been something neat to see. Shannon is still a little limited offensively. You know, he doesn't have an outside game, although selectively you'll see him stick a shot or two. He can be really good driving to the basket. And his defense goes beyond what happens around the ball. He's made some incredible plays during the course of the year blocking shots at the rim on breakaways for the other team. It more than anything, Steve, it's been confidence. And there was an opportunity where this kid could have really crumbled. They played in East Lansing early in the year, tight game. He ended up with a ball in his hands in the final seconds and just went mind dead and threw up an awful shot at the buzzer. And Ohio State lost the game. And the kid could have crumbled then, but you know, and I'll never forget seeing them go off the court and Aaron Kraft with his arm around him to try and pick the kid up. And being around Aaron Kraft, getting time on the court, getting in the flow of things, and getting the encouragement that this coaching staff gives him has probably been the biggest thing, and he's been able to gain some confidence from that.
Arizona is a hard team for me to get a read on because I know preseason a lot of people thought highly of them. I know a lot of people love the kid Lloyd a lot, the guard, but I don't think there's any doubt this has been the team that's had the single easiest road to get here, Belmont, Harvard. I'm sorry, but it is. What kind of read does Ohio State have on Arizona? Because we know they're talented.
Well, and you know, it starts mostly with the coaches, and this goes back to 2007 with Thad Mata and Sean Miller. They were assistants together in Miami, Ohio, under Charlie Coles. Sean was an assistant under Thad at Xavier, and then they coached against one another in that great Ohio State-Xavier game in the NCAA tournament. Arizona's got some size. I don't know that it's the kind of size that you would equate to Michigan State. You know, Mark Lyons, who transferred from Xavier and is playing in the Sweet 16 for the second year in a row with a second different team, is an outstanding player. And you're right in arguing about how they've had the easiest road, but, you know, let's also give Harvard credit for the great win they had. And, you know, in this wacky year of the NCAA tournament with Florida Gulf Coast doing their thing, you just don't know. But Arizona's a club that's kind of been on the radar all year in the Pac-12. I know they had a controversial call go against them in the game they lost in their conference tournament. I think there was another controversial situation with the game at Colorado. But they're a team that I think is maybe not quite been given all of the respect they deserve. You know, certainly with what Gonzaga has done during the regular season, and even New Mexico probably has dominated the talk of the Western teams. But this is going to be a tough matchup. You know, they're shooting the ball very well. They've got size, which can create a problem for Ohio State, but since Ohio State's using that small lineup so much, that can create a problem for a team with an awful lot of size. You know, this regional semifinal game might be best suited as a regional final game, and these are two coaches that have shown over time how good a job they've done in a very, I don't say short period of time, but for two very young coaches.
Yeah, Hill and Lyons and Johnson are all really good players, so it becomes a very interesting matchup. And by the way, Florida Gulf Coast, I was at the two games in Philadelphia. Paul, they are one wild ride to watch.
Well, I tell you, Steve, they were here 3 years ago, and were awful. I think it was before they were postseason eligible. And I don't believe Andy was the head coach then, but just seeing some of the highlights. And you know, they're playing with all kind of confidence. And what in the devil have they got to lose? And, you know, it's great. I know some people kind of downplay all of this, the Cinderella story and all of that stuff. But what a great thing. And, you know, they looked like, just a little bit that I saw and listened to some of it on the radio late last night, they're not just a team that's caught fire for one game. I mean, what, early in the year they beat Miami, and I think we've seen what kind of a team Miami is. So, you know, it's just been that kind of tournament. You know, let's let Harvard have their moment. Let's let some of these guys that nobody has thought about, LaSalle, certainly with what they've done, Steve. You know, that's a program that, you know, we heard about in the 50s how good they were back then. Notice we say we didn't see them. We heard about them. But you know, but that's what makes it fun, and that's why, you know, a lot of people around here are talking about, you know, if Ohio State's fortunate to beat Arizona, then they like their path to the Final Four with either LaSalle or Wichita State. And I'm thinking, you know, hey, Wichita State plays with a chip on their shoulder. So it's just that kind of crazy year that you don't know who's going to go how far.
And because of that, I'll ask you one last question, because it actually was going to dovetail into the last question I had. And by the way, Paul and I did not announce LaSalle in the 50s.
We did not see Tom Gola in person, no.
No. Well, the irony is the last time they were in the Sweet 16, Penn State was in the Sweet 16 with them. And I didn't do those games, okay?
gotcha. I didn't assume.
But if for Thad Matta, is that the big word right now? Focus, just focus, because the understanding of the one and done, regardless who's in front of you.
You know what? That would be a good word to use, but the word they've been clinging to is toughness. You know, being in the locker room to do the pregame show yesterday before the Iowa game started, you know, as all coaches do, they have their columns of things they go over in their pregame talk, and every other line, the word was toughness. And that's kind of what they've gathered to. It was something they knew they would need down the stretch in the Big Ten against teams like Michigan State and Indiana and Wisconsin. It was something they knew they really would need against an Iowa State team that plays physical. And they play with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, too. And you could see some away from the ball things where they were trying to intimidate Aaron Kraft and some of the other players. So I think toughness has been it more than anything else. But, Steve, have you seen Thad Matta over the years? One of the things that's most impressive about him is whether it's regular season, whether it's postseason, if a play or a shot goes bad, he, 99% of the time, is about, okay, it's done, can't do anything about it, and it's encouraging to move on. And that's something that yesterday was a great example of seeing how that fit for this team.
Paul, my man Girardi will be out there because the Daily News has him covering LaSalle, so you'll be in good hands out there. Have a great trip, and hope it goes well for Ohio State.
Sounds good. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thank you, great one.
You got to take care.
My good friend Paul Keels, one of the absolute best, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State basketball. We have hit the bottom of the hour. We have yet to include Kevin in the conversation, nor will we, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm safely ensconced in the very warm chateau, a.k.a. the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Third straight national championship for Penn State Wrestling. Tomorrow, Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated on the feet. Quentin Wright winning a national championship. Ed Ruth, a national championship. But I believe a lot of shine taken off of the national championship run. The fact that David Taylor did not beat Kyle Dake at 165 in the featured match. I think a lot of people have a different feeling about the national title. That if he had won, it would have been euphoric. Instead, everybody's like, hey, that's great.
Quinn went undefeated, didn't he, through the whole season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember him losing a match.
Nope. And the two had not faced each other until they faced off in the national final. So a great win, three in a row. I know a lot of people have complained that ESPN talked about Dake. I'm talking about SportsCenter and not about Penn State. You know, you have to understand what the national state of the sport is. You have to understand. I mean, do I mention it? Yeah, of course, because I think it's an incredible feat to win the national championship. But part of the deal with wrestling, it's so individual combined into team. We're talking about SportsCenter here. Or tonight, the big story is going to be Tiger Woods and the Miami Heat, followed by the Miami Heat and Tiger Woods, followed by the Lakers blowing an 18-point lead.
And Tiger Woods highlights.
Yeah. All right, and this is SportsCenter. Okay, that's okay. You got to understand the state of what you're dealing with. And you know, the other part too is wrestling does not resonate from California to Texas to Maine. It resonates in pockets of the country. In Oklahoma, huge. Pennsylvania, huge. Where we live, huge. Iowa, huge. Indiana, no. Ohio, no. New York, no. You see what I'm talking about?
Well, it will be interesting to see what the other sports networks that are popping up now left and right do to compete with ESPN.
I hope they do something, yeah. Now, winning three national championships in a row is a feat that should have been talked about, at least mentioned, that they won it on SportsCenter. It should have, without a doubt. We'll get that a little Shepherd, Michigan's play-by-play voice, next half hour. Tomorrow, David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News. In fact, Dave is going to be on Wednesday. David Jones, Harrisburg Patriot News on Wednesday. John Gonzalez from LaSalle coming up tomorrow. Brian Tripp from Baton Rouge on the Lady Lions tomorrow. Then David Jones on Wednesday. Dick Girardi next week from the Final Four. And Kevin will line up somebody who drops the flag for IndyCar racing someplace.
I'd like that to be me. By the way, I'd love to win the Honda's fastest seat. That would be awesome. Sitting behind Mario Andretti to start a race? Nothing beats that. Not even being in Philadelphia for Florida Gulf Coast history would beat that.
It was a wild ride. I'll talk about that later. But first, we bring in the outstanding play-by-play voice of basketball. The man, the myth, the legend, and my good friend, Will Thiemann. Will, welcome back to the show.
Well, Steve, where do we go from there?
Well, I don't know. I just thought it was the
after that.
I thought it was the appropriate introduction.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. We're still playing some basketball.
You are playing some basketball, and here's an interesting deal in playing basketball. Did you ever think that you would be involved in a postseason matchup, Michigan State and Duke, and neither one of them won a regular season or tournament championship?
No. You know, it was interesting you bring that up because as we're watching last night, the Duke game with Creighton, and what's wrong? I was rooting for Creighton. But anyway, when we beat Memphis and Valparaiso, they were both regular season and conference tournament champions. And then here's Duke. That's neither one of those things. At times been brilliant, at times far from that. And whether they have the Kelly kid or not. And it's just been interesting. And then, as you know, in the Big Ten, I mean, there's a whole lot of basketball teams in this league that can point to one or two plays and say, gee, if we make that free throw, don't turn this ball over at that moment, maybe we're a champion in the Big Ten.
Right.
So it is a little strange, but it's pretty interesting. The Midwest bracket is so loaded. But at the end of the day, right, somebody's got to beat Duke and somebody's got to beat Oregon or Louisville. I mean, so what the heck? Might as well be us, huh?
left knee injury for Keith Appling, and it also banged up his right shoulder. From all indications, it sounds like he's actually good to go for the Duke game, right?
Yeah, he is, Steve. Now, he's going to be sore, but the good news is, it was funny, a year ago, we were number one seed in the West, and we had this incredibly tough run in the Big Ten tournament. Going through that was hard. When we played St. Louis in the game that got us to the Sweet 16, that was a brutal game. We were late getting back home. We literally got just time to change clothes. Now we're heading out to Phoenix. And then we lost today because it went from that Friday, Sunday to a Thursday, Saturday setup. This year it's completely the opposite. We're playing the early games. We went from the Thursday group to the Friday group. And now we're that late game, and it's crazy. It seems like we have all the time in the world to get ready. And I don't know about you, but I've never been excited about a 9:45 tip.
No.
But we're having it. You know, we're bringing our family because it's so close to East Lansing, Indiana. And, you know, it's such a big event. But I have an 11-year-old. I don't know if she's going to make it.
What's interesting is I saw Duke. I went down to Philadelphia and saw Duke this weekend. And what I found interesting is that the guard matchup with Michigan State is going to be difficult. But despite what the world thinks about Plumlee and Kelly, whom I like very much, I think the advantage is Michigan State, because I don't think Kelly and Plumlee are... When you watch, I'd love to get your impressions once you see them in person, Will, but their foot speed does not wow you.
No, and it was pretty interesting, and here it is Monday, so beginning this evening I'll start really looking at the video. But I did watch the game last night. I was kind of going back and forth between that game and the Illinois game. And I kind of agree with you. Just the eyeball test, I'm thinking, well, probably a plus perimeter Duke, but down low, considering the speed and quickness and strength of Nix, Payne, and Dawson,
yeah,
I don't think they have anything that can quite match that. And so what my hope is, from our perspective, I hope that equates to more offensive rebounds than Duke has. And then the other thing is, and we have the ability to turn the ball over like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And we do it at the strangest times.
Yeah.
And it isn't always the pressure provided by the other team. And if somehow I'm right about the offensive rebounding and we can get a little smarter with the basketball, I don't know. I think it's a good matchup in what should be a great game for us.
The next part of this is I want to talk about Adrian Payne. It looks like he's always had the tools. But, gee, Will, I thought he's been the single most improved player I've seen in the Big Ten this year. And a lot of people have talked about Oladipo, and Oladipo's outside game has dramatically improved. What did Payne do in the offseason to make himself a better all-around player to match the natural athleticism he already has?
Well, Steve, you know, a lot of people tell you about he worked hard, he did, and, you know, worked on his strength, he did, all those things. But I think, anybody out there who's a parent will understand what I'm about to say. He started listening.
Yep.
He was the guy, and even Tom Izzo talked about it in his press conference, he was always the guy, even in the huddle during a game, he'd say, okay, Adrian, here's what you need to do. And like your kids, he'd go, well, why? Well, you don't have time for why all the time. and so I think he's grown up, he's a junior now, and he's now understood, like many kids with their parents, that maybe their parents know a little bit. Well, he's now understanding that Tom Izzo is there to help him. He's listening more. And now that he's not asking why all the time, now that he's kind of buying into it and understanding it, I think that's made all the difference in the world with him.
We saw, of course, the fans here, of course, would know about, you know, Dawson and Payne had that little brush up here before at the Nittany Lion and before the Penn State game. And then everybody saw Appling and Nix have a little fun in the huddle the other day. Are there any issues with this team? You know, this is your chance to dispel. Are there any issues with this team?
No. Here's the funny thing about when we were at your place. I went over early, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't see it. I was already at the arena. And so Matt Stinger, one of the fellows I work with, Matt said, guess who isn't here? So I looked down the practice floor, right? And I don't see those two.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, they are buddies and they are roommates.
Right. They're Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
And so when he told me what happened, I'm like, what? Those two?
Yeah.
But it's like a brother thing. And then the interesting dynamic about Nixon and the whole huddle thing during the Memphis
game. Aren't they high school teammates?
Oh, they're buds.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. They were high school teammates.
They're tight, tight.
Together. And this team is really tight.
Yeah.
And what Izzo's been waiting for all year, you know, a year ago, it was the Draymond Green team.
Yeah.
He was the leader. He's the guy that talked in the huddles. He was the guy. Well, this year, this team, for all of its chemistry and the fact it's got a lot of good guys on the team, and they really do like each other a lot, including the people yelling at each other in the huddle down at the Palace. But it doesn't have that guy. There's not that person there that says, okay, follow me. I'm leading. And I think one of the things Izzo has said for him as a coach, it's been a hard year for him in regards that he has to be the leader as opposed to having a Draymond Green or a Mateen Cleaves leading. And I think all coaches want that.
Right.
And sometimes you don't get it. And I believe Izzo, in his own way, was excited to see those two debate something. Because that meant the players were beginning to take ownership in what was happening. And so while it may have looked a little strange to the public, I think there's a head coach going, yeah, this is good.
I want to talk about Knicks for a moment. The weight loss and how it's translated to his footwork and his agility down low. What has that meant to the improvement of Michigan State as a post presence?
Without that, we're not talking about playing Duke because we're not there. I might be close on these numbers, but let me give you his last three games. I sort of took a quick look at something. Last three games, and keep in mind, two of these games are tournament games, and the other one was against Ohio State, and they're not too bad either. 53 points, 32 rebounds, and right now the big guys are third top assist fella. And so he's been critical. And the biggest thing, I think all people and all youngsters for sure, they hit that moment where they got to make a decision. And you got to understand that Derek Nix, at the core of everything, is a great human being.
Right.
But he also has had a very tough background.
Right.
And then we forget that sometimes. Because I can't relate to his background because I had two wonderful parents and, you know, were we rich? No. But did I have a great life growing up? Yes. It was a good family life.
Right.
He hasn't had that.
Right.
It's been tough. His environment was very different than normal. So having said all that, when he was a sophomore, we're getting ready to go to Maui, and he's having issues. He's wondering, is he in the right spot? Coach is on him. He's gaining weight in the middle of the season, not losing weight, which is impossible.
Exactly.
And we go to Maui, and he stays home. Stays home. Tom said, you got to make a decision. He said, well, I think I want to be on the team. That's not good enough. So he left him. I wasn't sure which way he was going to go. And then when he decided, okay, I'm going to buy into this thing. I want to be part of this. Then it started. And as he went into his junior year, there was more dedication to the weight loss, more dedication to on his natural skills. I mean, you've seen him. When he makes that spin move, it is so good, you don't even know where it went. And half the time they call travels, but there aren't travels. He's just too good at it.
Yeah, his footwork is I mean, not just good. His footwork is great.
And now, like a lot of seniors, he sees the end of the road here, and he wants to go out right. He doesn't want it to end. He wants the ball. He's become a monster down low and manipulating things. He actually now is directing traffic from the post at times, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But so he's just grown up, Steve, and he's always had the skill. I mean, he was a Mr. Basketball at like 5,000 pounds.
Right.
But having said that, I mean, he's just grown up, and he's focused, and he's, you know, he's 13 hours from graduating. Tom Izzo did say if he doesn't graduate, he will kill him. I think Derek believes that, so I'm pretty sure he'll graduate. And he's one of the great stories. And Adrian Payne, here's a student in the Dayton public school system in Dayton, Ohio, where a superintendent found him in the class of lost souls. They just gave up on him.
Right.
That this group of people can't learn. And he got his attention because he was a star basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked with him. He goes from being in a classroom of people that were given up on academically to becoming an academic all Big Ten player. Now, that's something, too.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of great stories in our league like this. And the fact that those we have two of them on the same team that are playing at a great level, it's kind of fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, people don't realize what college sports can do for, quote, student-athletes. Those are the examples of what it can do. I'll ask you one last question, then I will let you go. One of the easier votes I had was Freshman of the Year. I thought Gary Harris was, without question, the best one I saw in this league. We know about the background with his mom and so forth, but it looks like, you know, as much as Nick Stauskas has been lauded for his game expanding and improving, it looks to me like Gary's has done the same thing. Accurate?
Yes, and now that he's gotten a little confidence, he's amazing. And, you know, one of the things we kid Izzo about is that he's the only guy on the planet can talk to a bunch of high-scoring high school superstars and sell defense as sexy. And he does it, and they buy in. But Gary Harris has walked in. Obviously, he's really smooth offensively. But what they don't talk about is his ability to defend. He is one of the toughest guys on the team. You can't tell because he never has any expression on his face, whether it's a good day or a bad day. But he defensively, Steve, is so good. And he's critical. He's going to be critical against Duke because they're awfully good in the backcourt, as you've mentioned. So without his ability to defend, we're going to get hurt bad. So he's been the biggest surprise in that regard. And his offense just keeps getting better and better. And now that he's comfortable with the college game and his surroundings, on top of being this really nice three-point shooter, he's now become a guy who can take advantage of the pick screens. He penetrates drives. He does all that. And to think he's only a freshman is amazing. And he's a special player. And I agree with you. And I know as a Michigan State guy, it sounds easy, kind of strange to say, but for me also, he was a lock to be freshman of the year. And that has nothing to do with, you know, any of the other freshmen in our league, but he's just that good.
Yeah. Well, my
and
friend.
And the other thing, Steve.
Yeah.
He's a team player.
Yes,
that's
he is.
The other part of him.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really care if he gets 23 or 3. He just wants to win.
Will Tiemann, play-by-play voice, Michigan State. Will, thank you so much, my friend. Michigan State advances. We'll try and get a hold of you next week. News top of the hour, the Matt Shepherd of Michigan as we go from East Lansing to Ann Arbor here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.